Hi. It took me a while to try and figure out what exactly I was going to share today. I wrote an entire sermon and decided that wasn't quite what it was supposed to be. So I started a new one, and a new one, and a new one, and a new one. And I cut a lot of it out, and I've added more back in, and so it's been a journey trying to figure out what it was going to be today. But I settled on peace, purpose, and faithfulness because those are the things I feel God's shown me the most about throughout everything I've gone through. It's hard for me to be here, to stand here and give a message today for a lot of reasons, you know. And throughout this message, I hope you can understand a little bit more why. Most of y'all here probably know, but hopefully the people listening online will catch on pretty quick. To start out, I want to tell y'all a little bit about me. You know, someone who God worked through to defy what doctors told me. You know, there was a period in my life when I was told I would never graduate high school, never attend college, holding a job would be out of the question, family, anything, just gone, just give up. There was no hope, is what I was told, over and over again. But God is the God of hope. He's the one who gives you the strength to keep going, even when you can't see it yourself. I'd given my life to Christ when I was very young and saw God work through my life to meet the needs that were there in the family. You know, there were times when it didn't look like there would be food or power on from day to day, but there always was. It grew to become an expectation that even if there wasn't a visible sign of how it would happen, I knew God would be there to make it happen. Whether that would be someone coming to give us a meal or it just popping up randomly, you know. But it wasn't random. It was all behind God's purpose. God was working there the entire time. And I was a happy kid growing up for the most part. And in high school, I was near the top of my class, was on track to get a head start into college. I was in advanced placement classes. I was working on getting my CVA, Certified Veterinarian Assistant License, fresh out of high school. I was taking all the classes, doing all the steps. I thought I had everything going for me. But then sophomore year, over Christmas break, I had a problem that popped up. Wasn't expecting it at all. Was sitting there on the couch working on an English project, and my Aunt Ruth was there and she was messing with me. She's probably going to get a little annoyed that I'm saying this, but it's true. She was messing with me. I was working on my project. I had some chocolate and she came over and was playing, you know, trying to get the chocolate from me. All of a sudden, everything closed in on me. It felt like there was no room for me to breathe, no room for me to exist. And I had my first panic attack, and it lasted hours. They took me outside and walked me around, and it didn't get better. They ended up taking me to the emergency room, their Baylor Medical and Irving. And I was there for hours, and they gave me Valium and all sorts of other things to try and calm me down. And nothing worked. I think it was probably good 2-3 hours after I got to the hospital before it finally stopped. And there was a little bit of relief. And I thought, oh, it's a one-off thing. That was weird. Let's not have that happen again. But it wasn't. It kept going on in the weeks that followed. It became so bad that I couldn't leave the house at all. Had to stop going to school, couldn't go out, play, nothing. And it was even so bad that I didn't leave my parents' bedroom where I slept on a pallet on the floor for a couple of months. And the doctors that we talked to and that would come to the house even to try and figure out something to help me, they said there was no hope. There was nothing they could do. They might be able to help me manage my problems, but they had no cure for it. They had no fix. There wasn't anything wrong with me that was causing it. It was all in my head. They said there was no hope to beat it. But that wasn't the end. You know, God was there and he was working, even if I couldn't see it. You know, God had reached down in the situation and helped me, helped pick me up and put me back on my feet and helped me keep going. And the mountain that I was facing, that seemed like I'd never be able to climb it, God showed me it was a molehill about that big that I could take a step over and not even realize it. You know, God has this wonderful way of making the big things in your life seem small. And those small things in your life that are like a needle just poking at you, bugging you, insignificant or even non-existent. And so that gives me the main points I want to talk about today. God is the source of our peace. We have a purpose in this life, and God is faithful to see us through anything and everything we go through. In the story of David and Goliath, Saul tells David all the reasons why he can't fight the giant. But David's response really sums it up, I think. In 1 Samuel 31 through 35, when the words of David spoke were heard, the men reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's courage fail because of him, Goliath. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for you are only a young man, and you have never been a warrior since your youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock. I went after it and I attacked it, rescued the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I seized it by its whiskers and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted and defied the armies of the living God." Amen. David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Now the giant of the moment, Goliath, had the entire army of Israel paralyzed with fear. They couldn't do anything. They were too scared to even step onto the battlefield to try and fight. But David had no fear. He knew that he would be able to kill Goliath because God had given him the victory already. You know, sometimes stepping out in faith can be scary, but God's always there to help you through it. That first step is often the hardest you'll ever take, but it holds the sweetest rewards for all of us. You know, I had received a promise from God going through all of that, that wasn't the end, that even though the doctors were telling me it was, it wasn't. He had greater plans in mind for me and that he would be faithful to finish them. And I would try and live that and try and walk in that. But it was hard when there would be the doctors in my ear and there would be people around me in my ear telling me why I couldn't, why that wasn't true. And that's important to not get bogged down by. You know, we need to not get distracted by the voices we hear in the world. You know, it comes down to who you want to listen to. Trusting in Jesus to be our peace is not an easy step to take, especially when we have anxiety or worry or depression. But he's there for us. Even when we let those things build a cage around us and we seem to be safe inside of it, we're not really living. We're prisoners of our own mind. But God is there to get us through it, you know. I heard a story about a Harry Houdini. Some of y'all might have heard it. Some of y'all might not have. But it goes that while in England, Houdini would go around to jails and challenge the wardens and sheriffs and everything that there was no jail cell that they had that could hold him. And he was right. He went through, and every single one he said this to, every single jail cell he was placed in, he got out. Sometimes fairly quickly, sometimes a couple hours, but he got out. So one day, he's in a part of London, and he tells the warden this, and he's like, "Well, okay, let's see this." And so Houdini's put into this cage. He searched, don't find any tools on him, anything that he has. He's hidden everything pretty well. He's placed in this cage, and they shut the door, and they walk off. There's no guards around watching him or anything, and he quickly gets to work. He works for hours trying to get out of this cage, trying to get out of this cell that's keeping him a prisoner. He works until the point of exhaustion, when he can't do anything else by himself. And finally, he has to admit he can't. He cannot get out of the cell. So the warden hears this, and he comes to the cell Houdini's in, and he doesn't touch the lock, doesn't have a key, nothing. He just opens the door. It had been unlocked the entire time that Houdini was trying to get out. He didn't realize it. He didn't realize that the door was open, but he was keeping himself the prisoner. You know, and that's the way it is with Jesus. You know, he's already opened the lock. Our mind can build the strongest prison, stronger than anything we could face out here. And we can sit there and let the giants of our life hold us prisoner, not even let us take a step out of the open door, just like the Israel army did. But if we have a mindset like David, and we see the victory that the Lord has given us, and we don't let that giant open the gate, we just walk through. There's nothing holding us prisoner. Amen. Philippians 1 says, "For me to live is Christ. He is my source of joy, my reason to live. And to die is gain, for I will be with him in eternity. If, however, it is to be life here and I'm going to go on living, this will mean useful and productive service for me. So I do not know which to choose if I'm given that choice. But I'm hard-pressed between the two. I have the desire to leave this world and be with Christ, for that is far, far better. Yet to remain in my body is more necessary and essential for your sake. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your rejoicing for me may overflow in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." When I read this, going through all of that, it really struck out to me. You know, here I was not leaving the house, not leaving the bedroom. And I was trusting in God to get me through it, but I was scared. I was terrified. But for why? What? What did it do for me? You know, I already knew I accepted Christ. I knew where I was going if I died. What did I have to be afraid of? You know, if we know where our end point is, and we know that it's better than anything we'll ever have here, why be afraid? You know, what's the worst that can happen to us? While we're here on earth, we should pursue after Christ with all we have, setting our face like flint and stand in opposition to what goes against the Bible. But taking a stance against something isn't enough. You can be against something all day, but if you're never for something, what are you really doing? You know, we need to stand for what God has called us to stand for. We need to be a light shining in a dark world to guide those that are seeking God's glory and peace to Him. You know, it's not about us. It's not about what we can accomplish, because God's given us everything we have. So everything we do, every step we take needs to point back to Him. And this leads me to, you know, sort of the next section here. What is our purpose? You know, what we build our life around shows what we value most. And in Corinthians, we're given a bit more insight into this. "According to the remarkable grace of God, which was given to me to prepare me for my task, like a skillful master builder, I laid a foundation, and now another building is on it. But each one must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is. For the day of judgment will disclose it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality and character and worth of each person's work. If any person's work which he has built on this foundation, that is, any outcome of his effort remains and survives this test, he will receive a reward. But if any person's work is burned up by the test, he will suffer the loss of his reward, yet he himself will be saved, but only as one who barely escaped through fire." You know, Christ needs to be the foundation in our lives. It's He who we need to press into when things get rough. Because it's not just this world that has to face the storms of life. You know, as Christians, we will face it just as much, if not more, than what the others will. And that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around, because if God's for us and he's going before us to prepare the way, why are we still going to face things? And that's because we all have free will. We all can make our own choices, and other people can too. And sometimes it leads to situations that we don't want to find ourselves in. Sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes it's what other people have done around us that puts us there. But all the same, we still have to get through it. And if we build our house on other things, if we build on the sand of the world, when those storms come, it washes everything away. And then we're stuck in mud trying to get out, and it makes it so much harder to walk through life. But if we build on Christ as our foundation in our life, if he is our main purpose and main driving force, then when those storms come, even if they take everything away, even if we're left with nothing like Job was, we're still pressed down further into Christ, and he will be there to keep us up. We don't have to try and wade through it to get to him afterwards. And even if it happens and we're too weak to get up on our own, he lifts us up. He gives us the strength to keep going. I've found that when times are good, those are the times to seek after God the most, because that prepares you for when the hard times come. That prepares you to already be leaning into Christ when you fall. Now, trying to get through this life can exhaust us, but God does not get tired. He doesn't get weary. And he carries us through the hard times and rejoices with us in the blessed times. Isaiah 40 tells us more about this. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you see or imagine. He does not get tired. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to the dropouts, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. God gives us our strength to keep going when those hard times hit. And he sees us through. He is faithful to finish anything he starts. You know, God had given me the promise of healing, and it took months before I stepped out of that room. Months. And it was the scariest moment of my life to try and get out and try and do things. But God was there with me, and God walked me through it. It might have been hard, it might not have been easy, but I still got through it. It was a continual process that made great progress, and God was faithful from the beginning to the end. Eventually, I started going back to school. I spent the rest of my sophomore year, the entire second semester, homebound, which means that they had a teacher come from the school to my house to help me with homework, to give me the assignments, to sit there while I took the tests. That teacher's name was Miss Cynthia Brown. She was probably the most influential teacher I've ever had in my life. She was there and stayed way longer than she needed. She lived more than an hour away, but she would come every afternoon after school to be there to help me get through the stuff. She learned subjects that she hadn't touched since she was in school many years before she started teaching me, just to make sure that she could help me with any problems that I had. She was truly a blessing from God and helped me through a hard time. She would give me encouragement and talk with me and would be there for me and let me know that just because the world was saying one thing didn't mean that what God was promising me wasn't true. She walked with me and helped me through it. Philippians 1:6 says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the day and time of his return. Paul tells us that Christ will follow through with his promises, and he gives us the strength to get through whatever task he has set before us. Whether it is a time of famine or a time of blessing, God is there in our midst to give us the strength to overcome it. And when we get our strength from Him, the times of abundance are all the sweeter, and the times of hardship are all the easier. One of my favorite books in the entire Bible is Philippians. It's very much an encouragement. It's very much a help when you're going through things and you don't know how you're going to keep going. And one of my grandmother's favorite verses was in Philippians 4. Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times, and I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing life, whether well-fed or going hungry, whether having an abundance or being in need. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him, who strengthens and empowers me. To fulfill His purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. You know, the anxiety lasted all throughout high school. The depression, the worry, the constant turmoil inside of me lasted a long time. But by junior year, I was back in school, going to classes. I must have missed over half of that school year from being in classes, either down in the nurse's office having another panic attack or being sent home because I couldn't get through the day. But despite that, I kept leaning on to God and leaning on to His promise to get me through it, and He did. By senior year, I was there almost the entire school year in class. I was back to getting mostly A's and B's and doing better than I had done before. I ended up graduating high school near the top of my class, something that the doctors that I talked to said wouldn't happen, that there was no hope of. But God gave me the hope and the strength to get through it. I completed the test for my CVA, the Certified Veterinary Assistance License. I got a 98 on the test and started working senior year at an internship at a vet clinic there in Irving. And I held that job all the way through him selling the company the next year. And I stayed there for a while too, until God decided to have me move on in life to different work. But I was told I would never hold a job, not even for a couple weeks or a month. I think I stayed there for a year and a half, 18 months I was there, when I was told I wouldn't at all. But God is faithful. And God will do it when the world says He can't. But I've been through more than just the anxiety. I've had physical challenges too. And because of those things, doctors have told me a lot of things. All negative. In the last 6 years, I've had 2 major car accidents, 4 kidney stones, nerve damage to my left arm and left leg. I was told that I would never walk again without a cane, that I would never run. I'd been doing 5Ks and 10Ks. I would run a 5K 2-3 times a week. And then after the first car accident, I couldn't walk anymore. I had damage to my back, damage to my leg. And so they told me, that's it. Quit working, get on disability, and just go through the motions. There's no hope. There's no progress to be made anymore. But I didn't believe them. I believed in God's promise of healing. He had already carried me through a journey before, so what's another one for Him? You know? As you can see, I don't need a cane. I walk and I run still. I was told I wouldn't lift more than a TV remote. Within a year, I was lifting 50 and 60 pound dogs pretty much on a daily basis again. I didn't believe that that would be the end for me, because God didn't give up, and God was there for me. It wasn't an immediate thing. It's not like I prayed and then the next instant I was better. It was a continual process. And in the last 6 years, I've had 7 nerve blocks, 4 surgeries for the kidney stones, 8 major back surgeries where I was told before going in, you have a good chance of being paralyzed. You might not walk. You might not get better. Do you really want to put yourself through this? But despite it all, I've leaned on God, and He got me through it. There's been many challenges and many opportunities for me to sink back into the dark hole that God lifted me out of. But at the end of it all, it comes down to who you believe. Do you believe the voices of the world? Do those speak louder to you with the negativity? Or do you believe in God's voice and listen to Him and listen to the hope that He gives you? Do you believe that God's word was not just true in the Old Testament or just true when Jesus was alive and walking, but that's true here and now today? That the price He paid over 2,000 years ago is enough for you today. God hasn't changed from the beginning of time, and He will not change at the end of time. He is not fickle, and He is true to His words. What He has promised, He will be faithful to keep. He will not abandon a work that is started. Now, looking at Jericho in the Old Testament, you see a good picture of the importance of staying faithful to God's word and doing what He tells you to do, even when it looks stupid, even when the world tells you don't. God had told Joshua that He had given Jericho to them, even though it was one of the most formidable strongholds in the area. The city of Jericho was not a place that could be easily overtaken, and God had an unusual situation to how Joshua should instruct the army to achieve their promised victory. Now Jericho, a fortified city with high walls, was tightly closed because of the people's fear of the sons of Israel. No one went out or came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and its mighty warriors. Now you shall march around the city, all of your men of war, circling the city once. You shall do this once each day for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets, made of ram's horn, ahead of the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow their trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall cry out with a great shout, a battle cry, and the walls of the city will fall down in its place, and the people shall go up, each man going straight ahead, climbing over the rubble." God's instructions made no earthly sense. How could walking around this fortress make the walls fall down? How? It doesn't make sense. And I'm sure that the army, by the 4th or the 5th day of doing it, was talking amongst themselves, "Why are we doing this? This is stupid. We shouldn't be doing this. We should be doing what we normally do. We should be laying siege. We should be trying to get over the walls ourselves. We should be going the hard way that's normal for the world instead of going the easy way and doing what God tells us to do." And the people on the wall were probably mocking them because they're just looking at them and they're walking around the city, not getting anywhere, not doing anything. And it's like, this is going to be the easiest battle we've ever had. We don't even have to do anything. They're going to walk themselves to death trying to get around it. You know, but in spite of this, the Israelites continued to do what God had said and continued to believe in the victory that God had promised them. It was a continual process that made steady progress, even if it was not immediately visible. And then there was breakthrough, and on that 7th day, the walls came crumbling down, and they were handed their victory. I was on a lot of medication through it all, through high school. I think at one point I was taking over 100 pills a day. Over 100 pills a day I was taking. And I was set, and I was having to take them, and I'd take this medicine, and it would help, but then it would cause this problem, and then it would cause another problem to take the medicine that would fix that. And so they just kept adding more because they didn't know what to do. It felt at times like I was a science project. Just an experiment to try and see, you know, how many medicines can a person take and still get through life. You know, it was a constant state of fog. It was hard to concentrate. It was hard to think. But God was faithful to complete the good work that had been started. Amen. And by the time I was done with high school, after that, I started to look and things started to get better. I started to get off of the medicine. And as I got off the medicine, I put it in a box that I just kept filling up and filling up with all the medicine that I got off. Until eventually, I was off of it all. I didn't need it anymore. There's lots there. And there was lots more that I took. But God was faithful and he got me through it. Till eventually, one day, I just didn't need them. I didn't need to rely on things coming from here that God had already given me the victory to get through. I was trying to get over the walls of the stronghold myself. And I was building a ladder that kept breaking and kept needing to be repaired. But I listened to God and I started to lean on him. And I started to go around that stronghold. Started to face those giants head on a little bit more. And it didn't seem like progress was being made because they were still adding more medicines. But eventually there was breakthrough, and eventually I was off of it all. Amen. I want to close with this. God is not a respecter of persons. What he can do for me, he can do for anybody. You know, whether it's getting off of medicine, healing you physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, God is there. He's a God of healing. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of faithfulness. And that price that Jesus paid on that cross was enough. And it is enough today. So when the world seems dark and things are closing in and it looks like there's not going to be a way forward, take a second to look to Jesus and allow him to lead you through it. Let him be a light upon your path and a lamp upon your feet, showing you what you need to do now and showing you the way forward in the distance. No. He cares about where we're at in the moment, and he cares about where we're heading. And if you don't care about where you're going, how can you get to your final destination? You know, if you get a centimeter off path on a straight line, a mile down, it's a huge gap from where you thought you were going. So we need to stay rooted in the foundation of Christ and let him be what leads us through God, through this life. Lean on God through the hard times, so you don't get off the path that he set before you. Don't let worry or fear steal your freedom by making you think that the door is still being held tight. Jesus opened that door, and he's still holding it open. If you knock, he's going to answer and let you through. If you seek to find him, he will show you the way. Today can be the day that you take that first step into a new life, out into the light and the joy of the Lord. But it's a choice that we all must make individually. No one can accept Jesus into your life for you. No one can help you through it. We can pray and we can speak into people's lives. And we can plant seeds, but those seeds aren't watered by us. They're watered by God, by his word being poured into people's lives. That is what causes transformation, and that is what causes people to overcome the mountains that they face. If you're listening today and you've heard this and you've never changed for the better, you've never thought you could be free from anxiety or depression that has been haunting you for years or for a minute, or have been told why over and over again that your physical condition will never improve, why you'll never be able to walk, why you'll never be able to lose the weight that you've been trying to, why you're going to have to stay on the medicine for the rest of your life. Don't give up hope. Don't let what the world tells you stop you from progressing in the promises God has laid before you. Amen. Listen to what God tells you. Listen to where he leads you. God says that we're all perfectly and wonderfully made. And that's not something that can ever be taken away. Regardless of what other people tell you, regardless of what you might feel or think about yourself, God's word is true. And he will be the source of your strength and your joy throughout all the hardships in life. I want to extend an invitation to everyone listening today, here and online, that if you never accepted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to do so today. The day can be the day. If If you feel God tugging at your heart and telling you that He wants to be there for you through the good and the bad, then please don't miss the opportunity to place your hope in Him. Amen. Don't let a day go by spending your life in misery, in pain, in fear, trapped, when you can accept Jesus and be free. It's not tomorrow, because tomorrow never comes. It's today that you must make the choices that you'll live by. Amen. And letting Him into your life will be the best decision you've ever made. Amen. You can't make a better one, and it won't go bad. That doesn't mean that you'll get through life and it'll be roses and daisies and, you know, skipping through the meadow and everything's perfect. We're still in this world, and we still have to face the hardships. But as I said before, when you're on the rock of Christ as your foundation in life, when those hard times come, all they can do is press you into Him. All you can do is lean on Him. People say that peace is worth fighting for. And that is true. Peace is worth fighting for. But it's also worth resting for. It's worth resting in God to get you through it rather than fighting and struggling to get through it on your own. If you've listened to this message and you've decided that you want to give your life to Jesus, then I'd like to take this moment to ask everybody to bow their heads and just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that You are the Son of God, and I know that I have sinned, and there's no way for me to make up for it on my own. But I know that You died on that cross over 2,000 years ago in my place for the forgiveness of my sins. And I thank You for what You have done, and I accept You as my Lord and Savior today, that You will be there for me in the hard times and the good times, that as I struggle through life, You'll be there to hold me up and to keep me going forward. I thank You for what You have done. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank you all for listening to my message today. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand up here and speak and tell you a little bit about the journey that God's taken me through in my life. There's still progress to be made. There's still further achievements to make for God's glory. The things that I've been through aren't a reflection of me and my personal strength or mental fortitude. It's all because of God. Amen. And that's the way we need to live our life, is living for God. Yeah. Thank you.